fail, you gotta go beyond and then plus ultra. You gotta go beyond and then plus ultra. I am no longer holding back, leader of that Saiyan clique. You can call me Goku Black. Homie, if you talking smack, well, I ain't having none of that. Cause every knee gon' bow when Christ return, call it Colin Cap. I rap to give you life, that's my usual. You try to stop it, that'll be your funeral. Your doubt is removable, zero is my numero. But my father's business like a tie in a cubicle. I am on like a bet, I'm on to the death. I ain't never going off like I was born with Tourette. I am Deku and the Christ in the bone in the flesh. And we about to take rap like it's gone in the theft. Don't tell me I can't do it, I'ma make you look stupid. Changing hearts with the gospel, got no arrows, I ain't Cupid. Still turning down evil like it's muted. When you cut from a good guy cloth, don't dilute it, don't dilute it. And on this tape, no regrets. I'm killing everything and then I'm on to the next. Playing on to the next, I'm on to the next. And I ain't gonna stop until you all that
you
you're best.
You gotta go beyond and then plus ultra. You gotta go beyond and then plus ultra. You gotta go beyond and then plus ultra until you are the best.
Can we get that boy an Oscar? I'm just spazzing on the beat like my cousin named Juwan. If I was Weezy, I'd be pooping on these rappers like the John. When it comes to doing right, I get it done like a salon. I might do it plus ultra like Batman, I go beyond. I'm just running my race. I can be last if my fans get first place. Losing everything's a chance that I'll take. Cause I'd rather win some souls than be Drake. My whole body's gonna glow. And yo, when it comes to hope, homie, I am a symbol. Elsa told me let it go. I said, chick, you let it snow. So I can show all of my fans that I'm cold as Eskimo. Ooh, believe in Naruto. It's my movement, get caved in. So I go in, no eardrum. Why you feel invaded? You hate it, but I'm going. And y'all too late like Conan. I'm on one and I add nine. I'm Super Saiyan, I go 10. And I know you wishing that a good guy would just go and die. But to every occasion, like the third day, we will always rise. Fall falling out, let me play and be go. Or I will turn up when you like him, you know. My cross I'm bearing, I fight against Jared. And I teach those who care to be superheroes. And on this tape, no regrets. I'm killing everything and then I'm on to the next. I am on to the next, I'm on to the next. And I ain't gonna stop until you all that
you
you're best.
You gotta go beyond and be a plus ultra. You gotta go beyond and be a plus ultra. You gotta go beyond and be a plus ultra until you are the best.
Can we get that boy an Oscar?
Yeah, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ianellis.podbean.com. I'm your host, Ian Ellis. Let's get into it. Luis J. Gomez. We had him on the show. With apologies, you go listen to that. The trial of Luis J. Gomez. He was nice enough to come down. I'll say, very sweet guy. As a human being, seems like a nice guy. Still don't co-sign the podcast or the stand-up comedy. But as a human, he seems like a nice enough guy. I really thought that could have gone either way, because Luis has been known to have a temper on him, like getting thrown out of hotels and trying to assault SJWs that tweet at him. And I was like, if a SJW's pissing you off, I'm going to drive you fucking insane. But whether it's because I'm funny or I'm a comic or just because he's learned from his mistakes, he was not on that bullshit while he was talking to me. But he was trying to sell me a load of shit. like, first off, I just immediately... He tries to kind of distance himself from us and just be like, listen, I'm not responsible for the thoughts here. And I was like, don't distance yourself from all this nigga kike shit. Apologies for the language. I was just being brutal. So, drawing a line in the sand. This is what we doing, Luis. If you ain't down with this, get the fuck out of here. Now, he said to me, Ian, you don't understand. I make my living off this nigga kike shit. I've burned every bridge. You don't know me. I'm not the man you think I am. I'm cool. I'm with it. But then later in the conversation, when I'm asking him like to throw some shade at people or to like spaz out and have a moment and do something that's gonna get some headlines to George Bush the button, he's like, "Nah, man, you don't understand how the industry works. Like, man, you don't know. You don't want to fuck up the relationships. That fucks up the money." And so that was kind of the crux of what I was trying to get at. I don't think I articulated it that well. We had him for about 30 minutes. He came late on his way to another podcast. So I knew we were only going to get him for like 30, 40 minutes. So I was at the jump. And then, you know, my show is chaotic in general. It's five people all with different agendas and different styles of doing things. Like Ross, I think he would have been happiest just to like scream at Lewis until Lewis hung up. And Lewis would have been like, Ross would have taken that as a victory. And, CEO, God only knows. He was into some UFC stuff. I'm more into, can I egg you on into saying something that might get you in trouble? Because that's what's the most fun for me. That's what me and CEO do, is we just constantly try to destroy each other. Nothing brings me more pleasure than making him miserable. Except for making people miserable with him. That's the crux of our friendship, is we like to drive each other insane. So Lewis has invited us onto his show, The Real Ass Podcast. We're going to be doing that in about 2 weeks. It'll be me and Ross Dog. My first thought was that me and Ross should go on dressed up as fucking Mersch and Royce. Because I love characters. I'm goofy and silly, and I'm not there to represent Ian Ellis the comedian. I'm there to have some fun and do something that's gonna make my friends laugh. Ross was like, "Nah, man, I just want to go on as me." I was like, "All right, cool." And then Lewis was floating the idea of having Revenge of the Sis on at the same time as us, and I was like, "Fuck yeah, I want to have that fight. Let's do this. Can we do that? I want to do that. Let's do that." But it looks like that's not going to happen. So I don't know if he asked them and they said no. And they're like, "Lewis, we're trying to distance ourselves from all this horse shit." Or if he just didn't ask him. But it looks like he's just going to have me and Ross on. And he said pretty much no rules. We could do whatever we want. But if we do focus on the Revenge of the Sith stuff, that probably won't go that well. Because his audience doesn't know who the fuck they are. Nor do they care. Why focus on some petty drama? But we will be throwing some shade at Mersch. We'll find some kind of way. And, oh boy, have I got some ideas. Lewis. Lewis. I'm going to ask you to do some things, and we'll see how much fun you want to have. I asked Lewis if I could host Bastard Radio. And he had said yes, but, you know, it's a Hollywood thing. A lot of people say yes. It would be just a fun, funny moment. But I think he probably looks at it as a waste of an episode. And I was like, if we could pull this off, that'd be great. And he was like, "Listen, I got this agreement with them. No, you know, no guests, no people other than us." So I'm going to say that's probably not happening. But we'll be on the Real Ass Podcast in 2 weeks on a Sunday. We'll probably do like a pre-show on with Apologies, and then me and Ross will disappear for 90 minutes, and then we'll come back and do a after show. And so that'll be with Apologies that week. We're going back to the old days where we're running and gunning, and the episode is really just a bunch of other people's podcasts clipped together to make the show. With Apologies originally was a show, and then it got canceled, and then it came back with me and CEO were trolling several shows at the same time, and I started just cutting up our trolls and putting them together and calling that With Apologies, and then Unbleached offered to host for us, and the show came back, and then Ross Dog took over from there, and it became the show that it is today. Shout out to the Ross Dog RDA LLC, my Rossi doggy. Guys, I want to recommend a show. Can't all be negative. When I was listening back to the episode with Lewis, at the end of it, Jesse P.S. from Pod Awful came on. And I had really only planned for Lewis. And by the end of it, I was like, I was too drunk, too high, too out of steam to do anything fun or creative. And so I just started asking him the same stupid questions like, Like, I complain about shows being too much about process, but then my show is just me complaining about shows not being about process, which is about process. So I'm gonna try and break away from that and tell you about some stuff I like more. There's a show called Harley Quinn. DC has their own streaming service, and then some of the shows from there you could buy on iTunes or wherever. I hate all Harley Quinn stuff with my whole heart. Batman the Animated Series came out when I was a kid. I was like 11 or 12. I loved it. Huge Batman fan. And Harley Quinn was introduced in that, and she was great as like an ancillary character, an extension of the Joker. But she never needed to have or be her own thing. Well, with the success of Deadpool and with the rabid, frothing fan base, Rule 34 around Harley Quinn, you know, the powers that be decided that they were going to wring that rag and squeeze as much money out of it as they could. So now she has her own comic book line. I think she has multiple comic book lines. She has two movies, a TV show, and a fuckload of merch. And they're gonna get every penny out of this Harley Quinn that they possibly can. The character design is awful. I hate it. The character design is just like the sluttiest white trash piece of garbage character. And her weapon of choice is a baseball bat. A 107-pound girl fighting the mob with a baseball bat. They're shooting guns. She's swinging a baseball bat around. Give her some kind of power. Give her some way where it's a little bit more believable. Now I sound like Joe Rogan. It's it's just weird seeing like a fucking shrimpy little white girl beating the fuck out of mob bosses with a baseball bat and not catching a bullet. Anyway, this Harley Quinn show is actually fucking amazing. If you like Venture Brothers, it's a cartoon I like a lot. You will, that's what this is. And boy, oh boy, do they do a whole lot of shit that I did not expect. I was thinking it was going to be some cheesy, like, you know, basically Seinfeld with Harley Quinn and friends. But it is not. There's character development and there is ultra violence. Like, violence on a scale that made me uncomfortable. And I was like, you can't do that. What the fuck? I never in my entire life would have imagined that DC Comics would put out something this unbelievably violent. I can't oversell it enough. You're still not going to believe it when you see it. Hard R on this. And if the movies had been this, they probably would have been wildly successful. This show is basically a middle finger to like everything they tell you not to do. As anything you're not supposed to do, they do that in this. Except for some nudity. There's no nudity. There's half a butt crack. But Jesus Christ. That YouTube channel I watch called Comics Matter. It's your boy, Zach. One of his criticisms is he's like, the SJWs, anything they write, they don't know how to write heroes. Because they don't personally have integrity. So everything they touch, they end up turning it into a villain. I don't know who wrote this. I actually got to look at that because maybe they wrote some other great shit. Yeah, they do villainy quite well. And it's not cornball villains. Like they actually show you how evil the evil characters are. Like, the Joker is a very charming character when the violence is off screen or momentary. In this, you're like, Joker's a piece of shit. That dude needs to die. So I like it. I like it a lot. I recommend checking it out. It's like $20 and there's a lot of episodes. You get a lot of entertainment for your dollar. And Rick and Morty also just came back this Sunday, and Rick and Morty was fucking dog shit. This show needs to just go ahead and get canceled. I know they just signed their big deal, but it is the most like English professor jerk off nerdgasm. You gotta have fucking Asperger's to enjoy what they did in this latest episode. And here's the difference, like, so Harley Quinn, they just did their season. Next season is coming out. I think it's out right now, premiering right now on the streaming service. So that was a year they had a turnaround, and it was more episodes, and the episodes were longer, and it's a better show. Rick and Morty, you get 10 episodes every 2 to 3 years. So when you're only doing 10 episodes every 2 to 3 years, I kind of feel like you should try and make it count. You should try and make it the 10 greatest fucking episodes of all time. And they have some amazing stuff. The Evil Morty Citadel episode was fucking amazing. They've had plenty of amazing episodes, but they also have just jerk-off episodes that start nowhere, go nowhere, do nothing interesting, and you're like, dude, we only getting 10 of these every 3 years. Why are you playing around like that? Like, why not do the best fucking thing that you could possibly do? So Harley Quinn, better than Rick and Morty. Within Harley Quinn, there's a lot of character development, and a criticism I have of character development. First of all, no shows have character development anymore. Everything is made to be serialized so that you could just come in at any moment, unless it's like a a Breaking Bad saga. But those are the exception rather than the rule. They find some really creative and interesting ways to force Harley to grow as a character. But they have that same fatal flaw that I think most media has, where it's like they blame, but they don't give you a path out. So they find something to blame, like, you know, her parents or her relationship, and they kind of show you what created her as a person. And she has these epiphany moments where she's like, oh, that's why I am the way I am. But then the more important step, the more important thing is to show people, all right, once you figure that out, once you've had your aha moment, how do you reprogram your brain and move forward so that you can remove that fatal flaw from your system? It's like, all right, your family was fucked up. You're just going to sit around and blame your mom and dad for the rest of your life? Or are you going to take responsibility for your own life and figure out how to heal those wounds and fucking grow up and mature as a human being? I talk about this enlightenment stuff. Let's strip away all of the woo-woo spirit horseshit. My enlightenment stuff is basically about how to reprogram your brain. And it really just comes down to, you should be able to control your reaction to things. Someone gets mad at you, you don't have to get sucked into their anger. You can choose to not be angry. And you will have a much healthier mind and life and a lot more happiness and stability if you can just learn to not be triggered by the world. You can go back into the older episodes to hear the more detailed plan of how to do that. Speaking of which, Ari Shaffir just did an episode of his podcast where he had on a girl that did like a 10-day silent meditation retreat. I guess Ari had tried the same thing, and they were both talking about how doing the silent retreat, they were forced to learn to let go of their thoughts as they come and go. This is something that needs to be taught to all people. Like, it shouldn't be a Hindu-Buddhist thing. And even within the Hindu-Buddhist thing, they don't really teach that until you get to, unless you really, really get into it. It's this commercialized, like, yoga studio horseshit version of the religion. But this needs to be something we start doing in grade school, is teaching people how to be in control of their emotions and how to reprogram themselves if they're filled up with fatal flaws. If you're codependent, if you have anger issues, if you're depressed. These are things you can actually get out of if you can retrain your mind to not react to everything with anger or feeling sorry for yourself or whatever. I like the idea of just doing silence. I can see how being quiet for 10 days would cause someone to have a breakthrough, because, you know, in the last episode I was talking about how we all live in these loops. Our loops are full of distractions. You may only travel within a 20 to 40 mile radius in your day-to-day life, but because you watch TV and go on the internet and play video games, it feels like your life travels a lot more distance and goes out and sees a lot more than it actually does. Video games are the fucking worst because they're so immersive, and they've done the same thing that Facebook has done, where they give you these bullshit achievements that mean nothing, but they they reward you, and that sets off your endorphins to feel like you actually achieve something, and then you start wanting more and more, and then they start upping the bar of how you achieve them, and you can get sucked into filling your real life with horseshit things that mean nothing. Who could you ever show your achievements to? You can call someone up and like show them your fucking Xbox medals. Nobody gives a fuck. Oh, really? You spent that much time doing something? Ugh. Go outside. Kill yourself. But, alright, so we distract ourselves with all of these things, and I do think it's important to also push people to unplug once in a while. Seinfeld just had a new special out. I hated the intro. I hated the poster. But I really enjoyed the special. He's a grumpy old man. I'm a grumpy old man. He's basically over the human experience, and that's how I feel most of the time, where I'm like, I don't want to do any of this. Leave me out of all of your games. Just leave me be. I'm happy. I don't want to do the smiley. Yeah. Go away. And he was making fun of cell phones, and I relate to that because my wife is addicted to her cell phone. Now, I do 2 internet shows, and I do a cartoon and fucking run a Discord and Twitter and all this comedy shit. It's all online. So you would think that I would be on my phone more than her, and certainly I'm on it a lot, but she's literally on her phone more than me, and she's not doing any of that. And when I'm not doing that stuff, I'm either listening to or watching something for entertainment purposes, like listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos. She ain't into podcasts or YouTube videos. And so I look at her and I'm just like, what in the fuck are you doing in there? And she's like, I'm scrolling through Facebook. Really? For hours and hours? Why? There's nothing in there. Get your brain out of there. That's no place for a brain to be. There's nothing of any value or substance in there to warrant giving that much time and attention to just fucking Facebook. And yeah, my wife is someone I want to unplug from the matrix. Get out of there. Get out. Get shoot. Come back to reality. We got other stuff to do. Illusion of freedom, man. Stuck in a loop. So I was talking about how we use TV and internet to, escape the world, escapism. There's another function in that, we're not teaching people how to value themselves and have, like, healthy boundaries and coping mechanisms for their emotions and dealing with reality. We're just teaching them, figure out who to blame. Oh, it's mom's fault. All right, continue being the monster you're being. And so people have very warped senses of self-value, and when you don't value yourself, you get that validation from other people and other shit. And I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of this social justice horse shit and fights on YouTube and the deep immersion into politics. I think it's people that don't know who they are or value themselves trying to get some value from glomming on to that group or identity. And that's why I want to pull my wife out. I'm like, these aren't healthy people. These aren't the people you should be listening to. And I don't write off all commenters and all criticism. There's some brilliant people out there. There's some valuable things to say. You know, you got to eat the meat, but spit out the bones when it comes to criticism. But a lot of it is just fucking morons. Just knee-jerk reacting to stuff so they can feel a little bit better about themselves. I also don't like the idea of going like, oh, they're all miserable, they're all sad. They're not. It's just they're fucking dumb. Most people are fucking dumb, wounded, wound-up creatures that are just like a raw nerve going through the world. And I feel sorry for those people. I don't want to do that in this condescending fucking way of like... I'm sure their lives are better than mine, but I feel bad for their emotional, internal state of mind if you're living online and living off of these reactions, because it's a drug addiction. You're just chasing the high and then, feeling the low. That's what Jerry was talking about. Jerry was criticizing the human condition being too deeply interwoven with the stimulus and response that you get from television. Some of the biggest criticisms about Jerry are that he does stale old material. And I was watching Red Bar, and they referenced a Reddit article and said that, like, there was old jokes in this shit. And the other thing is that he really doesn't take any emotional or intellectual risk, genuinely. And a few years ago, he had done a seminar on some kind of meditation that he does. And he talked about it, and he made it very funny. And I was like, I wish that's what his stand-up was. Because it was like, he was taking some good, zen, profound things and making them funny and digestible. And they were things that he cared about. I feel like he did that more in this special than he's ever done before. But he did it in his way, and he's very much stuck in the 80s mindset of, like, you build an act, and it is this thing, and then you never change it ever, ever, for any reason. And you ride it till the wheels fall off. They put a cap on growth, where it's more that they're building a product than that they're building an artist. But I felt like this special was Jerry's most intimate, I guess. Sounds like him and his wife don't like each other. I can certainly relate to going on vacations as a kid and seeing my parents fight a lot. But with my own wife, it's usually a very pleasant, quiet experience. We're not enemies. We don't sit around nemesizing each other all day, other than in the fun antagonistic way that is playful. Jerry, if you're not happy, get away from that bitch. You know, just get the fuck out of there. And then that's what he does. He runs away and does his hobbies to avoid being with his wife. All right, last thing I want to talk about, on YouTube now, they have a new thing where they really want you to be premium, man. They want you in there. They need you. They need your money. They can't afford to stream all this content for free. So with YouTube, with Hulu, it's this extortion thing of, like, for one price, you can have the content with commercials, or for double the price, you can have the content without commercials. And I guess that's fine, that's fair enough, you gotta make your money however you gotta make it. But YouTube has stepped up their game with interrupting videos to suggest that you sign up for shit, or suggest that you head to their Prime membership. And one of their commercials the other day, it literally is like, are you tired of being interrupted? Well, upgrade your account, we won't interrupt you anymore. I was like, how do you have the audacity to go, like, listen, we know you don't like this. And that if you want this to stop, it's extortion. That's the only word that there is for it. YouTube, what the fuck are you doing? Alright, I'm gonna pause, see if I can come up with 10 more minutes of stuff to talk about. Alright, guys, let's talk about rap for a minute. I just saw a new song, Jadakiss and Pusha T. I'm Pusha E. I've been getting into Pusha T lately. Couldn't relate to his music before, but now I'm enjoying it. Ric Flair, woo! Pusha E, man. So they put out a song called Hunting Season, which starts with a really funny caption where they're like, we do not endorse any real violence or actual murders. This is all just artistry. Which is, what is the artistry of talking about how brutally you're going to cut up somebody's body? You better at least be clever. So one of 50 Cent's guys, I want to say Tony Yayo, he dropped a Hunting Season, and I don't know if they're trying to do this like a control thing, but I do think hip-hop should have a Hunting Season. You know, summer's coming up, that's going to be all the booty dance and party music, and that's going to be great. I think spring, you know, leading into the summer, we should have Hunting Season. May 1st to the end of May, rappers should come out and go for each other's throats with mixtapes. Let's just make it a season. Make it a purge. Instead of just randomly waiting for shit to come up. I think that'll do a lot more for the blood flow and creativity of hip-hop, which is something I'm trying to show Lewis. Red Bar has a phrase, unwind. I'm trying to unwind you. I'm trying to untangle all the cords in your head. I really like that a lot. And that's what we're trying to do, Lewis. We're trying to untangle your head so that you can have the freedom to be ball-breaking, funny. Because I feel like Lewis suffers from holding back. Because I think he's got some funny, mean things to say, but he's so worried about the money in the bag that he's constantly holding back. And he's trapped within his comedy scene, and within his comedy scene, even though financially he's successful, he's still kind of the bottom of the barrel. So for him to assert himself, they're just gonna trash him right away, and then he's gonna, start being a worm. You're gonna end up like Jim Norton. But you gotta assert yourself, Lewis. Fuck these guys. I've dealt with everything. I've been banned from everything. I've been threatened with violence, death threats, you name it. Videos exposing me, all just at this local level with a bunch of 20-year-olds that think they're gatekeepers because they have a bar show. So I understand it. I understand the politics, and I'm sure it's amped up to a more psychotic level where you're at, especially if you're interacting with LA. But it doesn't have to be that way, Lewis. You can be the honest guy and you'll be okay. And in fact, people will appreciate you doing that, and it'll create some freedom for other people to start doing it. You're going to have to go over the hill first. You're going to have to take all those slings and arrows. But once you start showing a little bit of courage, the people around you will start showing a little bit of courage, and maybe comedy will start being fun again. We're going to be talking about Doug Stanhope when he was on Legion of Skanks. I got some questions. I love Doug. I hope he continues drinking and calling into these shows. I want Doug to just fucking pull skirts up on everyone. He says he has a new special recorded. That's very exciting. We'll see how it holds up. He's been doing this book writing thing for like 3 or 4 years. We haven't heard from him as a comedian in like 5 years. I know he has a podcast, but his podcast is fucking awful. Just him and his drinking buddies just sort of rambling about nothing. I like focused Doug. I like a little bit of work put into it. Here's what I figured out. Here's what I got to say. I like that Doug. Hopefully we'll get a Joe Rogan appearance out of it. And, the first couple hours will be horse shit. But maybe hour three, Doug will get drunk and ask Joe some interesting questions. Maybe he'll ask him about his sugar pills. Last time he was on there, he got drunk and said he was better than Bill Hicks. And he is. He's not wrong. It just feels grimy to say that about yourself. 50 Cent has a new book out. I was flipping through YouTube and I saw a clip. Why 50 Cent no longer speaks to Lloyd Banks. And it turns out it was a chapter from his book. I actually found it to be very interesting. And if you're trying to be any kind of entertainer, it was very good advice. But it is padded with all the same horseshit you get from every, self-help book. You just gotta be fearless, man. How to hustle hard. It's literally called Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. The story of 50 Cent. But it is, I like 50 as a mogul. I like him talking about what he's done in business more than I like his music. So the book's like $14. I bought the audiobook for $14. I will listen to 50 Cent for 8 hours, whatever he has to say. I'm sure I'll find something good in there that is worth holding on to. So coming up, we have a, coming up is a rap song from my buddy, Push, Pray Until Something Happens. He's a Christian rapper. He's one of my best friends. He gives me a lot of criticism on what I've been doing. And I appreciate that. I love people that are critical of me. And he heard Grade A Plus and he's like, you got to put my music on there. And I was like, all right, we'll put it on there. So this is his music. Enjoy it. I think it's goofy and silly and wonderful. But, maybe it's not for you. All right, guys. I appreciate you hanging in there. I haven't done any stand-up. It looks like there's not going to be any stand-up. I don't know if I should continue doing this podcast since I'm not doing stand-up. The whole point of the podcast was just to get my material out there and maybe put some commentary along the side of it. But I'm not a sit-here-and-give-you-commentary guy. Not really my thing. But people have been enjoying these episodes. I've gotten a lot of good feedback from them. So, I don't know. We'll stick it out for a few more months and see if comedy comes back. And if comedy is just dead forever, if I'm retired and I don't even know it, I may retire. My birthday is coming up. I'm retiring at 40, regardless of where I'm at. By 40, I have to
start focusing on my life so that I can provide the highest quality of life for my kid that I can, and put all these silly dreams aside. It's time just to really be an adult. Right now I'm holding it down, but I gotta go past holding it down come 40, because this body of mine is going to start falling to pieces pretty soon, and I don't want to be working a bullshit job or looking for a job at fucking 60. I want to try and get somewhere in life so that I can have some retirement and enjoy my senior years, so I could be like Jerry, just fed up and happy to be left alone. I love it. He was like, I like being 65 because I could tell people no. And I look forward to being 70 because I could just shoo them away. That's me. I'm like, don't even call me. Send me a text. I love Grumpy Jerry. Get grumpier, Jerry. He won't. He probably won't do another special for 6 years, and it'll be more of the same, but I enjoy me some Grumpy Jerry. All right, guys. Deuces.
They say I can't save you from the grave. I'm not giving up. I'm gonna be a
back, you know I'm fatal. Ain't no kidding, there's no cradles coming through like a tornado. They say God can't turn the tables, just watch like we on cable. We'll pass your favorite rapper like we playing Hot Potato. I don't quit, I persist, this is in my DNA. In my back like Frito-Lay, my mountains move like relocate. Good guys are here to stay, and that's eternal like my master. Don't care how dark it gets, we keep it litty like a lantern. Be your favorite rapper, cause I rock it just like NASA. I'm just saying like I'm Napa, playing tracks like I'm Santa. Y'all did to me like Prancer. I'm here to raise rap standards and teach you to be heroes. Wakanda like Black Panther. Not forget what you know, cause you don't know nothing about me. Ain't no one on the mic who can do it quite like me. Yeah, I got that juice and I ain't sipping on that high C. And when I shine my light, I do it Super Saiyan times three. It, no messing with the click. Everything that I just said is exactly what I meant. Staying on the straight and narrow, don't you ever get it bent. That's the way a good guy stay, like we laying in cement. In cement, this is it. No messing with the click. Everything that I just said is exactly what I meant. Staying on that straight and narrow, don't you ever get it bent. That's the way a good guy stay, like we laying in cement.